everybody is singing praises to our Lord. So I'm so happy, and I can see the hand of God, you know, with this wonderful worship team. You know, I just praise God for that. Well, we're going to get ready so we can get into the Word of God. As you are opening your Bibles in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, we're going to be looking only three verses. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And before we get deep into our text, let me just say this, that today we're going to have a word that is going to challenge your life. When I was meditating in this text, it challenged my life, and I'm sure it will challenge your life today. I'm sure you heard many sermons about this passage that we're going to see in a moment, but I just feel like it's necessary to refresh our hearts and our souls in this wonderful text of, you're going to see that the Lord Jesus is giving his final words to his disciples. And let me just tell you this. You already know that it's not a mystery that we are living in such a difficult times, difficult days. And we see an agenda behind Christians, which you see it everywhere. They want to keep the church silent about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we already know that behind this agenda is no other than our number one enemy, Satan. Satan is the one who is trying to keep the church afraid of sharing the good news of salvation for humanity. So let me tell you this. He doesn't care if you come to church every Sunday, as long as you stay quiet and as long as you don't open your mouth to proclaim Christ, he doesn't care. But the mission of the church is one, to proclaim Christ and to advance his kingdom. Now, before we go deep into our text, let me just share with you the following information. Lifeway Research, which is a website designed to provide Christian information for Christian people, they made a study about why church people are not sharing the gospel with the unbelievers. And the study concluded that, listen to this, 61% of the people who say they are Christians have never shared their faith in the past 6 months. 25% have only shared their faith once or twice in the past 6 months. And only 14% have shared their beliefs three or more times in the last 6 months. Now, these are shocking numbers, if you ask me. And I think sometimes we get the wrong idea that it's only the pastor's responsibility to share the gospel, or maybe the deacons, or maybe the elders. But the truth of the matter is, if you call yourself Christian, it's your responsibility to proclaim Christ. It's your responsibility to preach the gospel. I think many of the excuses that we hear are, I don't know how to be a witness for Christ. Or maybe I'm afraid to talk to people. And this is exactly why today I want to share with you three wonderful reasons that the text in Matthew 28, and only three verses, three wonderful reasons that Matthew is giving us to carry out the Great Commission. And my prayer is that at the end of this message, you can be reminded that God chose your life to win souls for his kingdom, to advance his kingdom. That is my goal today. Let us read Matthew 28, verses 18 all the way to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and on the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age." Let us pray. Father, I praise you, for you have allowing us to be here. Father, I thank you that you are bringing your people to hear this message. And we have here people from different nations, different countries, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you are using your church, your people, to reach the lost. Father, I pray that this time you will lead us, you will help us to be encouraged with this wonderful text in Matthew 28. I pray for my brothers that they're going to be listening to these words, Lord. Holy Spirit, touch their hearts and their minds and allow my brothers to be encouraged and to proclaim Christ to the lost world. Help us in this time, O Lord Jesus. I pray in your name. Amen. Amen. So here we found in our text that the Lord Jesus is about to ascend to the Father. But before he does that, he wants to entrust to his followers the amazing message to humanity. And that is to make disciples, to share the good news, to let the world know that Jesus saved sinners. And like I mentioned before, I want to share with you three wonderful reasons to carry out the Great Commission. You can write it down if you want. And the first reason that we find in our text is that Jesus has all authority. You're going to notice that in verse 18. Now, the second reason why to carry out the Great Commission is because this is a command. You're going to see that in verse 19. And the third and final reason of why to carry out the Great Commission is because we are not alone. He has promised to be with us always. You're going to notice that in verse 20. Now let's consider the first reason. Jesus has all authority. Verse 18, it says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now, look what Jesus is doing here. He is affirming that he has all power, all authority, not only on earth, but also in heaven. This is a wonderful encouragement for the disciples who were at this point feeling once again sad that their master was going to go away. At this moment, they are thinking, we're going to be left alone again. And I can only imagine the sadness of their hearts once again. In the past weeks prior to this moment, they had experienced a tremendous pain seeing Jesus being crucified. All of them were thinking, this is it. He was not who we thought he was. He died. And all of the disciples went back to their secular jobs. They went back to their normal lives. But 3 days after the crucifixion, they had the greatest news. Jesus is resurrected with power. He's alive. What of joy. But now, here in this text, we can sense the sadness of the disciples once again. Jesus is about to ascend to the Father. And on top of that, listen to this. On top of that, they were given this huge task of the Great Commission. They had the great responsibility to spread the gospel in all the earth, to let the people know that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and that he resurrected with power and glory. And now everyone who believes in him, meaning in Jesus, will be saved. Now, I want you to put yourself in their position. How would you feel about that? So the disciples, I believe, they were really sad at this moment, but I want you to notice the wonderful love of our Savior. Notice that before given the task, he is given a wonderful encouragement. Before he said, "You have to go into all the world and be a witness for me," notice very carefully that what Jesus is doing here. He knows that our hearts, the heart of man, is very weak, and we can easily be fearful and discouraged. So the first thing he's doing is he's encouraging the disciples. And he's saying, "All authority is being given to me. I have all authority. I have conquered death. I have obtained redemption for my people, and everything, absolutely everything, has been put under my feet." Dear church, Christ, the Son of God, has an unbreakable dominion with power. And the resurrection was the seal of approval by the Father. Now, did you know that the words that he mentioned here in Matthew 28, 18 are connected to the words in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, where Daniel in his vision saw one like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, and to him was given an everlasting dominion and glory, an unbreakable kingdom that will never pass away, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. This is referring to Jesus. He's got all the power, not only here on earth, but also in heaven, and listen to this, in the spiritual world. That is that angels, archangels, seraphims, thrones, dominions, Satan and all his demons, and every soul of man, everything, absolutely everything, has been put under his dominion. He is Lord of all. He is sovereign, and nothing, listen to me, nothing can escape his authority. Colossians 2:5 says that in the cross, Jesus disarmed principalities and power. And in the cross, he demonstrated his victory. Demons tremble at his presence, like the ones in Matthew 8:29. At his voice and command, the dead comes alive like Lazarus. At his presence, illness disappeared like the woman who bled for 12 years in Luke 8:43. At his presence, great storms are restored to peace like in Mark chapter 4:35. Isn't that amazing? Don't you see, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is Lord of all and that his power goes beyond our understanding? Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and on those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now let me ask you this question. Do you think this is a good reason to testify about him? Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Therefore, the church, listen to this, the church shall find courage in this wonderful and amazing truth about a Savior and proclaim the good news to a lost world. What are we afraid of? What is preventing us from proclaiming the gospel? The victory is already there. The souls are already waiting to hear the truth. Christ did it all. The government cannot stop us from proclaiming this gospel. Satan cannot stop you. He has no power. Demons or principalities cannot stop you. Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Isn't that enough? Let us meditate on this. Let us meditate. Now, the second reason that we see in our main text in Matthew of why to carry out the Great Commission is because this is a command. Yes, brothers and sisters, this is a command from our Lord. Read with me verse 19 again. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice the word therefore. This word here is so important because it's connecting what he said in the previous verse with what he's going to be said next. That is, since I have all authority, since I have all power, therefore go and make disciples. Church, listen to me, please. This is not an option for the believer. This is a command. Are we being obedient to his command? Are we making disciples? Are we proclaiming the victory of our Lord in the cross and his resurrection? Think about that. Jesus said in John chapter 14, 21, he who has my commands and obeys them, that is the one who loves me. Do you love Jesus? Let this text speak to your soul. Do you love Jesus? The truth of the matter is, it's not enough to say, I love you, Jesus. It's not enough to say, I come to church every Sunday. I'm so faithful. I'm here. But you know what? Once you go back outside, nobody knows you're a Christian. Nobody knows because you don't mention Jesus in your conversation. I remember long time ago, before I was a believer, you know, I knew this guy who was always joking around with us, you know, participating in, you know, dirty languages. You know, he was always joking around with dirty jokes. And I didn't even know he was a Christian. Then when I became a believer, I started testifying about my Jesus. And he was like, oh, I'm a Christian. And I was like, whoa, oh, really? How come you never told me that? I didn't know that, you know? You see, you have to understand, brothers and sisters, that we are here for one reason, and that is to advance God's kingdom. Amen. All of us are instruments in the hands of God to reach out the lost. The question is, again, meditate on this, are we being obedient to his command? Are we being obedient? Brother Jose, does that mean that I have to go to other world, to every nation, to every country, in order to be obedient to this command? And the answer is absolutely not. That is not what the text means. But what the text does mean is that wherever you are, in your neighborhood, in your state, in your workplace, it doesn't matter where you are, God put you there with a purpose, for a reason, that through your life, He is going to be rescuing souls for His kingdom, for the benefit of the sinner, and for the glory of His name. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. An ambassador is someone who is sent to represent other nation. It's someone to sent on a mission to represent the interest of someone else. Church, we don't belong to this earth. We are representing the interest of our Heavenly Father. We belong to a heavenly nation. We represent our Father's business on this earth. We are called to fulfill the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus gave us a command, and that is to make disciples. I want you to see with me two other scriptures that is going to help us to understand better how the Lord is commanding us to preach the good news. And the first one is in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. The second one is going to be in the book of Acts again, chapter 10, verses 42 and 43. I'm going to give you a moment so you can find the text. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And the second one, Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. Let us read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now let me read Acts chapter 10, verse 42 and 43. And he commanded us, to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Both of these passages are being very specific about sharing the good news. Sharing the good news is a command. It's not an option for the believer. Listen to me, please. Jesus already sent the Holy Spirit to every believer. Do you know what that means? It means that you have the power within you to be a witness for Him. Sometimes I wonder if the person who doesn't share the gospel with the unbeliever is because they themselves haven't had an encounter with the resurrected Christ. You see, because when you truly have an encounter with Christ, you cannot stop proclaiming Jesus. You cannot stay quiet of these wonderful things that you have seen. That is exactly what happened to the disciples. They had a powerful encounter with the resurrected Jesus. And you know what? That truly transformed their lives to the point that they wanted to die for Jesus. They didn't care. They couldn't stay quiet. They wanted the whole world to know about who this Jesus is. You know what I notice sometimes is that sometimes people hide themselves behind the sovereignty of God and say, why do I have to be a witness for Christ if He will save sinners anyways, with or without me? But what you don't understand is that, yes, God is sovereign. Yes, God will save sinners with or without you. But the reason why you have to testify of Him It's because he's commanding you. He's commanding you. If you truly, listen to me, please. If you truly love your children, give them Jesus. If you truly love your neighbor, give them Jesus. If you truly love your co-worker, give them Jesus. Your Savior, your King is commanding you to do this. Let us be obedient, brothers and sisters, to this precious word. Let us be obedient. Let's meditate on this. Now, the third and final reason why to carry out the Great Commission is because he has promised to be with us always until the end of the days. Let's read verse 20 of our main text in Matthew 28, 20. Teaching them to observe all that I had commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I want you to notice the amazing way that our Lord Jesus is closing this conversation with his disciples. Notice there, he wants to encourage once again the disciples' hearts. Notice that. He's saying, I am with you always to the end of the age. These men, they were about to put the world upside down with the proclamation of the gospel. So they really needed to hear this, don't you think? And I believe with all my heart that they were truly encouraged with these precious words. Just to know that Jesus, listen to this, just to know that Jesus has all the power. And now he's saying here, I will be with you. That changes everything, don't you think? That changes everything. Just think of this for one moment. The God who created the heavens and the earth is on my side. The Bible says that if God is with me, who can be against me? God has been with his people since the beginning, brothers and sisters. In Exodus 3:12, God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and I am with you. In Joshua 1:5, the Lord told Joshua, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forget you. And in Jeremiah 1:8, God told the prophet Jeremiah, don't be afraid of anyone because I am with you to protect you. You want to know the one thing in common between these three men? You want to know something in common about them? They went from fear to faith. They went from fear to faith. What was the secret? What was the secret? The presence of God. The presence of God. Listen to me, please. The more, listen to this, watch this. The more they surrendered their lives to God, the more they experienced God's presence. The more they experience God's presence, the more the power of God was manifesting. The more they saw the power of God manifesting, the more their hearts were encouraged. Isn't this amazing? And here, in our main text, we see our Lord Jesus telling the same words to his disciples. I am with you always. These wonderful words has been of great encouragement for all God's people throughout all generations. The disciple of Jesus, listen to this, is not alone. You are not alone, brothers and sisters. You are not alone. The one who created heavens on earth is with you. The one who conquered death is with you. The one who reigns forever and he has a universal dominion is with you. The one who holds your life in his hand is with you. The one who crushed Satan's head is with you.
The one who gave his life so you can be a child of God is with you. It's with you. It's with you.
This is a promise. This is a promise for each and every one of us. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. In Africa, he's with you. In Pakistan, he's with you. In India, in Mexico, Jesus is with you. The Spirit of the living God is within you. Tell me, do you think this is a good reason to testify about him? Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." You have the Spirit of the living God within you. I want to close this time with two different scriptures. Just bear with me for a minute. The first scripture is in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 15. And as we read, please, brothers and sisters, let God speak to your soul. This is not my word. This is God's word. Please. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15, it says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." Listen to me, please, dear church. Listen to me. God has entrusted us with the greatest treasure in the whole universe. And that is to proclaim his dearest son to a lost world. To proclaim Jesus. To proclaim his victory in the cross. To be a witness that he has the power. You have the power because his Spirit is within you. You know, when you get to heaven, this is the only thing that you will no longer be doing, to be a witness for Christ, to proclaim the gospel. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to hear these precious words that I'm going to mention right now of our Lord Jesus. Go to Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew 25, verse 23. Matthew 25, verse 23. Meditate on this, please. Let God speak to your heart. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Do you want to hear these words from your Savior? Then let us put what we learned today in practice. Let's proclaim Jesus to a lost world. Let's advance his kingdom. And when we get to heaven, we can hear these precious words of our wonderful Savior. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." Well done. Well done. Let us pray. Father, I praise you for you have encouraged our hearts this morning. I praise you, Lord, for you are advancing your kingdom through your church. I praise you for every person that is here, this is not a mistake that they are here. You brought them for one reason, and that is to hear your precious word. Thank you, oh God, for encouraging our lives. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Thank you because you gave us godly leaders. Thank you because I am growing more and more through your servants. Thank you for the pastors. Thank you for the elders. Thank you for the deacons, Lord. I'm the least capable to be up here, but I praise you because you use the weak. I thank you, Lord. I thank you in the name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. Thank you, brothers. God bless you all.